send you greetings from Faith E Church, which is where I also serve, and from the Western Conference, where I am the assistant to the superintendent. And it is my privilege to be able to be with you this morning. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians today. And I'd like to read Ephesians 4, beginning with the first verse, and we'll just read through a little ways there. So Paul says this. He says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through all." I'm going to drop to verse 11. It says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try and trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does his own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." When Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, some of the letters that Paul writes were to churches who had trouble, and he was writing to address a particular problem. But the Ephesian church was a relatively healthy church, and he was just writing a letter of encouragement to them. And as I look around the conference, and the superintendent gets to go and visit with various churches, sometimes we get to go and encourage, and sometimes we go and we put out fires. And it seems like lately Jay's been going around and putting out a lot of fires in different churches because there's things that are going on there. But I get to come to Big Timber. And Big Timber, there are no fires that we're aware of. You know, please keep it that way. And but it's like, so it's kind of like Paul writing to the Ephesians, like, "Oh, coming here and being able to encourage you as a church that you're doing well and you're doing things great." As I get the privilege of being able to administer the conference office, so I see everything that comes in, all the correspondence and stuff that goes in and out of the office and through things, and there, you guys have a good reputation in the conference. So we appreciate you and for how you share your resources with other churches as you share your tithes and as you support the works that the conference does, that we can do better together than we can individually. And you guys, I got to say, you do a fabulous work. And you guys are, your missions organization is amazing. You guys are just, you're like the Ephesians church. You're doing kind of what God wants you to do. And so that's exciting to see that. This morning, I would like to talk to you as we look at Ephesians about how the Holy Spirit brings unity and diversity together to create harmony. So we're going to talk about that theme today. And first, we're going to talk a little about unity. Unity in Ephesians 4, verse 3, Paul says, "Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future." We are all called together to be on task for Jesus. And we all have this united mission. Now, as we look around our various churches, we all express that in different ways. Basically, what it looks like, most churches do two things. They try and fill the great commandment, which is love God and love people, and they try and fulfill the great commission, which is share the gospel and make disciples. And those two things are expressed in various ways. You guys have expressed it this way, I believe, that encourage everyone to know Jesus and follow him every day and in every way. That is your mission statement. And so you guys, as a church, come around that, and that is where you focus your energy and your strength, and you're united about that mission. And that's what Jesus calls us to do, is be united together in mission. And His Holy Spirit helps us to do that. We're united by the Spirit. Each of us as individuals, we could each have our own tracks that we go on and say, this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to do. But the Holy Spirit comes together, and He gives us direction, and He binds us together in unity so that we can work towards the same purpose, and that is to expand God's kingdom here in this earth. We're to be Jesus' hands and feet on the earth. And that's the unity of purpose that we have, that God calls us to. But although there's that unity of spirit, there's also a great diversity in churches. Now, even I noticed this morning as we came in, your church is quite different from Faithy because you pray at 15:45 and we pray a half hour before our service. And so there is differences in the churches, but that's minor things. We come together as diverse people. In Ephesians 4 verse 7 says, he says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. God gives us each different gifts and abilities. But it is that. It is a gift. So when we get gifts, God gives us gifts perfectly for us. He knows who we are. He created us each unique individuals, and He gives us each unique gifts. Sometimes, however, we can look at gifts and we can say, oh, okay, you know what? I really wish I had that one, or I would like to have that one, and I don't have those. And, you know, that is kind of our human nature that comes out in doing that. But we need to remember that God has wired each of us uniquely to be able to fill out His purpose in His kingdom. In the Ephesian church, it wasn't such a big deal. When Paul talks to the Corinthian church, he talks about, you know what, you guys are looking at the wrong gifts. And even in the Ephesian church, they were looking at things that there were certain, they looked at the leaders and said, hey, this is really, those leaders, they're the ones who are really, really gifted. And we wish we could be like that. And if we were all had those gifts of leadership and of being an apostle and a prophet and evangelism, then we could really do God's work. Well, that's not what Paul says. Paul says in chapter 4, 11 through 12, he says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This is what we see often in many churches, is that people look to the leadership. The pastor is the one that is supposed to be going out and doing all of the work, and he's supposed to go and greet new people and bring them into church, and he's supposed to, you know, tell them about Jesus, and, you know, if you have people, you can bring them to the pastor, and he'll tell them about Jesus, and that's his job to do that. That's not his job to do that. People were looking at things and saying, oh, I wish we had more pastors and we had more apostles. They were looking at the wrong thing. They were focusing on the wrong gifts and saying, these are the best ones. When I was in Rappelje, we would always meet 10 minutes before the service to pray before the service. And we would go into my office, and in my office I had this candy dish. And the worship team would come in there, and the elders would come in, and then they would always grab a little candy. And we're taking the cinnamon ones. These are the best ones. And it's like, they thought that was the best thing, that I had cinnamon candies there. Little did they know that they were wrong, that the best ones were actually the butterscotch ones. And so I was very glad to share the cinnamon candies with them, because they were missing out. We all look at things from our perspective and say, oh, I think this is what the best thing to do is. But the truth is that God has put us together as a church to, with a different, each unique shape to be able to do everything that needs to be done in God's kingdom. You guys are the church. You are the ones that Brian and Kyle are supposed to equip to do the ministry of the church. And that's their job. They're more to be the coaches, and you guys are to be the players. God has created each unique players. Now, there's a little acronym that we use. When at Faithy, I teach a class. It's called the SHAPE class, and I'll explain that in just a minute. Basically, God has shaped us in different ways, and that's an acronym for God has given us each different abilities. So the S in that shape, God has given us each unique spiritual gifts, and that's the S. All kinds of different gifts in the body of Christ, not all the same. Intentionally not all the same, because God wants us each to do our part. But that's a part of who he created to be, is giving us different spiritual gifts. He also has given us each, the H in that acronym stands for heart or passions. And God has given us excitement for each of us for a different type of thing. Some people love kids and they just enjoy being around kids. Some people think kids are just a very much of a distraction and a lot of chaos. And so there are different people that have different passions for things. Some people have a passion for missions. Some people have a passion for teaching. Some people have a passion for finances. Some people have a passion for doing music. We all have different passions that God has given to us. And together, we form that body that because of that diversity. God has also given us different abilities. And that's kind of the talents that God has. Those are natural things that God has given us. Some people, they can fix cars. Some people can run soundboards. Some people can play sports. Some of us don't, you know, when we play basketball, we, you know, try and get the ball through the hoop, not happening. But we all have been given different abilities that God has given us to do his work in his kingdom. He has also given us each different personalities. That's the P part of that acronym of SHAPE. And there are different personality types, and each personality type interacts with people and the world differently. And we kind of narrowed it down. There's basically four. And if you're in the leadership team, we're going to talk about that after lunch today. But God has given us unique ways and to look at the world. And you have to recognize that we have different personalities. And when we recognize that, people don't see the same world the same way that I do. And when we recognize people have different points of view and how they view and experience life, it's like, oh, okay, they're not wrong. They're just different. My wife and I were married 20 years before we took this personality test. And after we took it, it was eye-opening. It was like, oh, you mean you don't think the same way that I do? Well, that explains a whole lot about why we don't always agree about things. Different personalities, but when we understand, okay, this is, you know, she understands who I am, I understand who she is, it makes for a whole lot more, less tension, shall we say. And when we understand our personalities, whether it be in a marriage or in a family or in a church, it helps us to be more aware of how other people think and how God has created other people that are different from us. And that's important. God has created that diversity in his church on purpose. We aren't all the same, and that's because we each have a unique place to fill. And God has also given us that last piece of that shape is an E for experiences. We each have a different story. God has given us each different things in our past, and that shapes to who we are today. Some of us were brought up in a church. And we've been to church every time the church doors were open. That is a different experience than someone who was far from God as they were growing up and didn't know what a church was and thought that Jesus' name was a curse word instead of, hey, this is my Savior. But now they've come to faith and they understand that's a different experience, and they experience church and Christianity different than somebody who's been brought up in the church. not wrong, either one, just different. Different experiences that God has given us. God also sometimes gives us different positive and negative experiences. We sometimes go through tough things in life, and God gives us those experiences to shape who we are. And when he uses, then he can use those experiences to be able to help other people in those same positions. There's people who have had really rough backgrounds can sometimes help other people that have had rough backgrounds. If you've had tragedy in your life, you can help people that have had tragedy in your life because you've walked through that together and you've got to walk through that. When you're walking through it, if you're in one of those states right now where your experience is really hard, yeah, it's hard. And it really is not very pleasant. You're not in the place where you're going to be able to minister to other people necessarily because you're the person that actually needs to be ministered to. And that's what we do as a body of Christ too. We minister to each other because of how God has shaped us so we can bless each other and help each other to walk on this journey that we've got with Jesus. We do that together. Churches have their unique personalities as well. And we see that as I look at the conference and I can see there's different personalities in different churches. But there are all of the different personalities in the different churches and the different people and in different denominations. We come from different backgrounds and we come from, you know, at least if your church is similar to the one that was in Rappelejay and is in Faith E, we've got ex-Lutherans, we've got ex-Catholics, we've got ex-Assembly of God, we've got almost ex-everything, and we all come together, even though we're different, we come together. God has given us those each unique experiences to make us special. And it's kind of like a puzzle. If one of those pieces of the puzzle is not there, the puzzle is not complete. God creates each of us as a unique piece in the fabric and the puzzle of his church so that we each needs to do our part to complete that puzzle. The diversity, each different shape, is what makes the beauty of everything when it comes together. Because the Holy Spirit calls us to unity and purpose, but God created us unique and diverse, the harmony in that is when we come together, that when the unity that we have through the diversity that God created in us creates the harmony, and when those differences work together in harmony, they make the church much stronger. In Ephesians 4, verse 16, he says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The whole body is important. And sometimes we look around and we self-consciously say, oh, you know what? I may be just a little toe, and I'm not that important. I'm not the, you know, I'm not the heart, or I'm not the bulging biceps, or whatever it takes. Each part of the body is important. Before I went into ministry, I worked for Shield Sports in Billings, and when we would have inspections, Fred Shield, who was kind of Grandpa Shield of the Shields family, that would come, and he would come to the different visit different stores, and he would write up reports and tell us how we were doing and things like that. The first thing that he would do would be go to the bathroom, not only because he was old and needed to go to the bathroom, but and had been traveling a long ways, but if the bathrooms were clean and looked good and were all tidy, the rest of the visit went really, really well. If they were not, the rest of the visit did not go so well, and he could find picky things about anything that he wanted to. But what we kind of think of as, oh, that's just in the back, that's not important, is it very important. So when we look and say, oh, you know what, I'm just, you know, all I do is I come and I make coffee. Well, you know what? That's important, because if you're like me, a good cup of coffee is an important thing, part of your day. And when you come to church, that makes you feel warm and comfortable as you be able to come in and be able to fellowship together. You don't have to be the person standing up here to be the important person. In fact, this person standing here should be the coach for all of you, because you guys are the team. You guys are the ones that we are equipped to go out into the world to rub shoulders with people, to show God's love to people, to be able to talk to people who, you know what, Brian and Kyle may not be able to talk to them because they're the preachers. And, well, they're expected to, you know, act Christian-like and to, you know, talk to people and be kind to them, because that's their job. But when God's people connect with people, that's when people be able to see the real love of God. Because in one sense, people, you're not perceived as that's not your job. That's just who you are. Is when you are kind and you are honest and you do business dealings well and you do your job well and you care for people, people see that and they look like, oh, what's different about you? We are who we are wherever God places us. I've had the privilege to be in ministry and I've had the privilege to be in the marketplace. And in one sense, it seemed like I almost had more contact with people in the marketplace when I was a manager for Shields than I was than I am with people in church, because all I see with is Christians at church, mostly. And in the marketplace, you get to see all kinds of people that are not necessarily following Jesus. And we can influence them. For me, it was kind of who I was kind of, whether I liked it or not, I was kind of the chaplain of the Shield store. And when people had trouble, they were struggling with their marriage or they were having issues in life, it seemed like they would gravitate towards me and we would have conversations. And whether they believed in Jesus or not, it was an opportunity for me to be able to talk, to speak into their lives. You guys have those same opportunities. Wherever your sphere of influence is, whether it be in a business, in school, wherever that is, we can have influence on people. And it's also, we can have influence on people when we're out and about. When you go to restaurants, here's a question. How do you tip? If you are a stingy tipper, that does not necessarily speak well of that if people find out that you're a Christian. When you're generous with your time and love and money, that speaks very, very well of what God wants us to do. And we are then become a pleasant aroma to the people around us. God calls us to be that pleasant aroma. And when we put all of our different abilities and talents and our shape together, each unique shape joined together is more powerful than each individual shape. There's an analogy that read, they'd done a horse pulling contest, so big draft horses, and they tested, and they said, one of these big draft horses, one of them could pull 4,000 pounds, and the other one could pull 3,000 pounds, but an interesting thing happened. When they put them together, they couldn't do 7,000, which was the combination of both of those weights. They actually did 10,000 pounds that they could drag, because they were working together in unity. And that's what God gives us the privilege to be able to do, to work together in harmony, because when we do that, we can do amazing things more powerfully than we could each individually. You guys are actually a very good picture of that. Is that in your missions organization, I mean, you guys do amazing things. You guys kind of stand as a good example to all of us that, hey, this is how things can be done. Each individual of you could do something, but when you pull together as a group, you do amazing things, and you go and affect people all around the world as you do that together. Not everybody can go. You know, Brian's in Romania right now. Well, some of you helped him get there. Maybe you didn't go, But Brian is able to go, and together you can do things that we can't do necessarily individually. When we, Paul concludes, he just talks about we need to grow and be full of love. Love is the key. God's love and God's Spirit in us that gives us that love is the key to all work together towards the same vision. It's the love that makes us effective. You know, the pastor may be very well-versed and eloquent, but he's not going to be as effective as the other members who, if they don't utilize their gifts in church to greet newcomers warmly, to make sure the building is maintained and clean, to plan the worship service, to make sure that the equipment is working properly, like the slides and the microphones and all that kind of stuff, and to follow up on people's needs, and to pray faithfully for the ministry. The church needs the visible members, people up front, the worship team, the pastors, but it also needs the less visible members that are out there, that are doing the work of the church. You see, pastors are not the shepherds of the church, really. Jesus is the shepherd. The pastor is simply the sheepdog. And he's the one that works for the shepherd to try and keep the congregation all safe and protected and going the right direction. Because Jesus is our shepherd, we can come together under the leadership of the sheepdogs to move the mission forward. In order to make that happen, we need to humbly serve in whatever capacity God has called you in the church, but not just in the church. We do pretty well at that, in that we work together in the church, and God also calls us to serve outside the church, wherever he calls us to be. That's where he's called us to serve. Yep, we get together on Sunday mornings, and that's important, and it's good. But this really isn't the game. This is the huddle, if you use a football analogy. We gather on Sunday mornings, we huddle, we hear the game plan, we encourage each other. But unless we break the huddle and get out and go into the world and connect with people, it's not effective. We like being in the huddle. We like each other. At least I hope you do. I mean, but the huddle is comfortable. It's like, okay, yeah, let's do this. Which when you get out and you have to actually play the game, that's when you can sometimes get bumped and bruised and you can get tackled and things happen. You can get hurt. But when you stay in the huddle, nothing happens. It's safe. It's protected. But God calls us to break that huddle. When we do that, we then can be united in purpose and in spirit with all of our diverse talents. In the huddle, there's not just a quarterback. There's all kinds of different players. There's tackles and guards and centers and backs and ends and all kinds of different players. They break the huddle, they go out, and they play the game. And that's what God is calling you to do today, is to go out and play the game with whatever gifts and talents and abilities and passions, personality and experience God has given you. That's what he calls you to do. In order to do that, we have to have God's Spirit guiding us. And if you don't know Jesus, you can't have God's Spirit guiding you. And I just challenge you, most of you probably know Jesus, but if you don't, come and talk to Kyle. Come and talk to me, and we'll help you in show you how you can be part of this movement that God has called us to, because he's called us to be his hands and feet in his world, and that's what we are as his church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for creating us each uniquely. You've given us great diversity in your church, but Lord, you've called us together in unity, a purpose, and with your Spirit. And Lord, together then we can have harmony as we move out into the world and we can make an impact in your world. Lord, we just thank you that you empower us with your Spirit to do that. Give us your love. Pray this in your name. Amen.